Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for MyLowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello! Today is Sunday, March 12th. It's March Madness Day. The brackets are out. We're going to talk about them. We're going to go through them. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Gino. I'm here with Darren. I'm here with Kevin. Please listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe. Follow us on Facebook. Send us posts, thoughts, questions. Talk to us about these bracket picks because we know they're going to be crazy today. We have the brackets out. We have the number one seeds. 68 teams have been revealed. Guys, let's start it off with just talking about some overall bracket thoughts. Darren, why don't you start us off?
All three of us, I'm not going to jump ahead. All three of us had 67 out of 68. I had Rutgers in. I can't really argue with them getting excluded. I had Rutgers in over Nevada. Happy to see the smaller school get in, to be honest with you. Basically, what the committee said is, you know, you have 14 losses, three of them against quad threes. I think that loss late in the season against Minnesota, you know, where they blew a 10-point lead with a minute to go, probably cost them. 20-13 probably looks a lot different than 19-14. And it's another quad three loss that really hurt them. Do I think that they have a better resume than a couple of the teams in? I do, but they have 14 losses, and the committee decided not to go 10 deep in that conference.
The commissioner who does the brackets was on before, and he actually called into question when one of their players was down with a bad injury in February.
Yep.
That he didn't think that they played as well as they should have, and that may have also have cost them. But, yeah, go ahead, Darren.
No, Mawat Mag getting hurt. I mean, I think Kev brought it up a couple of weeks ago that he was an ultimate glue guy, and he was. Again, fourth leading scorer, you don't sit there and expect it. But when we talk about UCLA later, we'll talk about another guy that's third or fourth leading scorer that no one expects. That's big damage for them. Outside of that, I thought the committee was pretty good. I mean, I was happy to see the Pac-12 get four. It's a good league. You know, I was happy to see the Mountain West get four. It was a good league. Memphis was never on the bubble again. They played so well, and then they actually won the conference tournament. Interesting team to me would have been VCU if they had lost today because they got a 12. Don't know if they would have been able to move up or not. I thought the committee did a really good job, better than usual, in my opinion. Kev?
Well, here, I think the committee had it very easy this year.
I agree.
When we talked Saturday night, and we were talking amongst ourselves, it was about 7 o'clock or so. And I think at that point, the only potential bid stealer was UAB at that point when they were playing. UAB against Florida Atlantic. Other than that, there was no other bid steals out there. Like I said, if you want to consider VCU on the way outside. But like you said, you know, we all had 67 to 68. I had Pitt out and I had Rutgers in. Again, when you're dealing with, you know, multiple bids from the multiple big conferences, it's like, am I kind of really bitch and moan about, you know, this team getting in and this team getting left out? No, I think all of us would have felt more. If Charleston didn't win, if Florida Atlantic didn't win, some of these other schools, if they got left out, I think we would have been more upset. The fact that Rutgers got left out, like I said, it's a 10th team from the conference. Who cares at that point? Or ninth?
Look, ninth team.
Okay. Same idea. I mean, you know, like I said, I think the four number ones were right. I think overall the committee did a really good job. You know, a school here or there maybe we thought was a little underseeded, but I think the seeds were pretty darn close. Gino?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the committee had a very easy job, and we touched on this last week, and we said it amongst ourselves. none of those other teams forced their hand like Florida Atlantic and like Charleston. And even, you know, we talked about Oral Roberts maybe forcing their hands after their good year. None of them forced the issue. I think the committee basically got down to three or four teams and they selected which ones they wanted. From what they said on TV watching the selection shows, Oklahoma State and Rutgers were the last two out. You know, we kind of thought it, maybe Pitt, maybe Arizona State. We thought Nevada was in that mix. But for the most part, it's those same four or five teams that we all had, that we were all right around the same thing. I don't think anybody had, you know, I can't look at who's in the 68 or in and go, okay, I think they made a big mistake here or a big mistake there. They did not give a ninth bid to a conference, which should make you guys happy, because when we talked a couple weeks ago, we talked about giving some of these smaller conferences a better shot, that you don't want to see a ninth team that's, you know, 500 against the Big Ten or the Big 12. Well, that's exactly what they did, basically. They gave a fourth bid to the Mountain West and not a ninth bid to the Big Ten. And, you know, that goes what you guys are saying. Kev?
Mountain West was, you know, according to the metrics, sixth best conference ahead of the ACC. So to me, they should have been, you know, that same ballpark of four bids, you know, give or take. And I think even when you look at the first four matchups, Mississippi State versus Pitt, Arizona State, Nevada, these are the teams we just talked about being in that mix for those last seeds. There's nobody that you said, why is this team in the first four even? I think the first four was accurate. Again, you know, you may argue about which team is in and out, but it was accurate. I mean, I think they're pretty spot on.
The one thing most interesting to me this year is the teams that weren't even close. Villanova, you know, regular team we watch every single year. Michigan, perennial power. Wisconsin, perennial power. Ohio State, perennial power. You know, North Oregon. Carolina. Oregon. Yeah, I didn't even go to the ACC yet. North Carolina. LSU has been around for a long time doing this stuff. A lot of the teams that we're used to seeing in these brackets were not. And it was, again, it's refreshing to see a couple other teams come up. Listen, Northwestern, you know, it's nice to see a team like Northwestern have a shot and celebrate and go crazy. It's nice to see these type of things. So I'm pretty excited about a little bit of fresh new blood in there and showing the parity of college basketball, which we've been talking about all season, about how the difference between the one seed and the five seed is not, well, maybe not the one, but close enough. One in the five seed isn't that dramatic. Gee?
And not only did we think the committee did a good job on selecting the 68, but for the most part, we kind of were okay with all their seedings. And all three of us really only saw one seeding that we just didn't understand. But other than that one, and we'll get to it in a minute, for the most part, we kind of think most of the seedings were correct. We could argue one or two here or there. Looks like the only one we all thought that was a little, that they ranked them very low, was Texas A&M. They come in as a seven seed. You know, they're a good team. I mean, they lost to Alabama in the SEC final. That to me was the only seeding disparity. You guys have any issues with any of the seeding stuff?
Overall, no. Like you said, Texas A&M, they had the second best record in the conference and the second best conference in the SEC. I think they were second best behind the Big 12. They made it to the conference finals. I have their net rating, I think it's about 20. How is that equal to seven seed?
Yeah,
I had him as a four.
Yeah,
that was way off. I was obviously way off. That matchup to me was the most interesting one because Penn State had been playing really well also. I thought they could move up to a nine. What the 10 tells me, if Penn State would have lost in the second round, they wouldn't have made it because they had to go a couple more rounds. I thought that Penn State was a little safer than they were too. I'm not saying that they were in any peril. And Utah State climbed up to the 10. I thought they could be on that 11 line. But again, now we're playing like, you know, we're picking like little needles out of haystacks here. For the most part, it was pretty good though.
Yeah.
All right. Darren, let's get into some bracket stuff. Start us off, buddy.
Hey, listen, you know what? This is the funnest time of year for us. Me and Gino are already planning our bets out. There we go, because we're degenerates. But let's start with the South, okay? The way they did it on TV. Why not? Number one seed is Alabama. When you guys look at the brackets, first round matchup that you most are looking most forward to, G?
San Diego State, Charleston, the 5-12. I would love it if Charleston was playing somebody else because I probably would have bet them. They're playing San Diego State. I don't know if they can beat San Diego State. San Diego State is a good defensive team. They're gonna play you the whole game. And that's what matchup I'm looking forward to. Kev?
I agree with you there. I would have preferred Charleston and Oral Roberts, for example, switching where I could root for Charleston over Duke. I like San Diego State. I like Charleston. That should be the best of – that's probably the best of the 5-12 matchups. And I think Virginia Furman, the 4-13, could be a very interesting 4-13 matchup as well. I don't think Virginia's coming in playing that great, and Furman's going to be a tough out.
They're a good team. The Charleston-San Diego State matchup, you have a team that shoots nothing but threes against a team that allows less than 30% of the threes to go. I mean, it's about as contrasting as you could get. San Diego State has one guy that averages double figures. Just Bradley averages over 12 points a game. Nobody else even averages 10. I mean, so this is a team that wants to play in the 50s and 60s. You got Charleston, if you watched them at all, fun squad. They're just running it up and down the court. Everybody shoots. Everybody dribbles. Everybody takes you off the bounce. It should be a real fun matchup. I think the upset in this round could be NC State over Creighton. I think that NC State has the talent to bother Creighton. I think that they play a similar style. Neither team rebounds well. Neither team's a great defensive team. They both have lapses. And overall, I think the talent level on NC State is a little bit better than the talent level on Creighton, except for the big guy in the middle. That's the one matchup I'm looking forward to. I think NC State could be something where I can get a little money line action, G. Just something I'm looking at, but that's where I go. All right, Gino. I'm sorry, G. You about to say something?
Yeah, there's one more matchup there that I actually like, and that's Utah State, Missouri. I think that's going to be a good game. I could see them playing really, really well in that game. I think Utah State's going to give Missouri everything they can handle. I got news for you.
Both teams can score. That one you think you're taking the over.
Neither team can defend, and both teams can shoot the three. Should be kind of fun, and depends on who's hot. You know, it really, really does. Is there a second round matchup or a later matchup that you guys see in this bracket that you really like?
Yeah. Okay, I think Utah State can match up for the most part with Arizona, although I think Arizona is going to wind up winning that game with not a problem. I think they'll play them really well. The game that I think could be really good, and this goes against what you just said, Darren, would be Creighton-Baylor.
It could be.
I think Creighton will shoot well. I think they'll play well against Baylor. I don't know if they're going to have enough to beat them, but I think that could be a really good game. Kev?
I've got Creighton even going past that. I've got them going past Baylor and matching up against Arizona. I think Creighton can pull off some upsets here.
Listen, they're good. They're a real good team. I just think NC State's going to be feeling a little slighted. I don't know why. I just have a hunch. I just think they have the best player on the court. But I get what you're saying. So that's the one, though. Is that the matchup, Creighton?
Yep.
I think if we get whoever wins the San Diego State-Charleston game against Virginia is going to be outstanding. If it's San Diego State-Virginia, the game's going to be in the 40s, maybe get to 50. Each team value and possession. It's going to be like old school, no shot clock kind of game. And if it's Charleston versus Virginia, it's going to be a three-point shooting team against a team that defends everything so well. It's going to be a microcosm of the first round matchup they had, only with guys that might be slightly more athletic. I think that matchup could be interesting. And I think Maryland will get by West Virginia. I think Maryland and Alabama, just on an athletic level, could be really good. Maryland hasn't shown much against on neutral courts or on the road this year, but they certainly have the players that can really bother Alabama. So I think that could be kind of fun. So, okay, Gino. Who are your final two right now? with an opportunity to change this on Tuesday when we do a next show. Who's in the eight and who moves on?
I think it's Alabama, Arizona, and I think it's Alabama. Honestly, I think this is probably the easiest easiest one seed path to the Final Four, and it's Alabama. Kev?
I have Alabama beating Creighton in the Final Eight.
And I have Alabama beating Baylor. So we all have a different consensus. Team on the bottom. But we all like Alabama. This is the only one I think I like all the way through at this moment. Doesn't mean it won't change. I just think Alabama looks so dynamic today and all week, to be honest. Every team that they played, they blew out. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. I don't like Nate Oates. I think he's kind of a pain in the butt. Not a fan of watching him on the sideline, but I think that team is really special. Boys, let's talk a little Midwest.
Oof.
The one seed here, the Houston Cougars. A lot of complaining about the fact that it's not Kansas getting to play in Kansas City. In a certain respect, I kind of like the fact that Kansas doesn't get to play in Kansas City, but Houston isn't that far away. And this is a bracket where a lot of schools from Texas seem to have come up. First round matchup, Gino, you're looking most forward to.
Okay, before we even get to that, let's just touch on one thing, and that is I think the groin injury for Sasser really could change things if he's not playing. For the first round game, I don't think it's going to matter. I think Houston has way too much to get past North Kentucky. But once we get past that first round, if Sasser is not 100%, I think Houston is very susceptible to getting knocked out. Okay. I just want to get past that right off the bat. First round matchup, I'm going to the 5-12 line again, and that is Miami versus Drake. I like Miami. I think they're a good team, but Drake plays good defense. They hit their threes, they protect the ball, and Miami allows opponents to connect on 60% of their shots. I think Drake has a very good chance to knock Miami out. Kev?
I like, as an upset, and the matchup I'm looking forward to, I think Mississippi State gets by Pitt in the first four. And it always seems like one of those 11s seems to make a run more often than not. And I think if Mississippi State gets that first win, Iowa State did not play well down the stretch. I can see Mississippi State making a little bit of a run here and getting by Iowa State in that first round.
I think Kent State is alive in this bracket. I like Kent State to beat Indiana. I like Sincere Carey and the rest of this group. This is not a good rebounding team to start. So the fact that they can't cover, Trace Jackson in the middle is not surprising. They haven't been able to cover anybody down there. I just think that their guards are better than Indiana's guards, especially with the loss of the transfer from Pitt and Johnson. I think when they lost him a few games back, I think it really hurt Indiana a little bit. And I think that Kent State is a real alive team in that 13. I also agree with you, Kev. I like Mississippi State. I think they're going to beat Pitt. I mean, listen, this is the game they couldn't shoot straight. Watch Mississippi State, and it's like a Mason convention. I mean, they shoot 27% from three. They shoot 64% from the line. I mean, this is a team that literally can't shoot. They can't at all. But when they are hitting a shot or two, they're so good defensively and so physical and so nasty that they'll win. And I think that if they get by Pitt, Iowa State struggles scoring the ball too. And I think I think that Mississippi State is a little bit bigger and a little bit more physical. G, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of first-round matchups here that are interesting. You take the 7-10 Texas A&M Penn State, the team that lost to Alabama in the SEC title game against the team that lost to Purdue in the Big Ten title game, okay? And then you got that 8-9 matchup of Iowa-Auburn, McCaffrey against Pearl. I mean, this is going to have some good matchups in the first round. There's no way around it. I like Kent State too. However, I got a feeling Indiana is just going to be too much for them, but I do like them. That's another one of those teams where I wish they were playing someone else. Darren?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Kev. Go ahead.
I was going to say another one I like too in that same bracket there. I like Drake. And we talked about Mississippi State. Drake's best win is probably against Mississippi State. I think they can play with Indiana. And coming out of the Missouri Valley could possibly get to that Sweet 16 as well.
I don't disagree with you. I think that's a great matchup. Drake, Miami. Miami brings this great backcourt. They have no size. They have the one guy that plays down low. They have the one kid that bangs around and four guards, basically. And they have Wong and they have Pack and they can shoot it up. But if they're not hitting, Drake can score with them easily. I mean, we saw Drake dismantle Bradley. I'm not trying to compare Bradley to Miami, but Drake is good. They defend and they can score. And the coach's son is the best player in the whole thing. So it's interesting. Even the 8-9 matchup, like you said, G, is great. And that 7-10 matchup is really cool. And the 14, this is the only 14 I think has a shot against the three, is Kennesaw State against Xavier. I think this is the best bracket of first-round games, in my opinion. I think almost every game outside of Houston, North Kentucky, and Texas Colgate, unfortunately, is up for grabs. And I honestly think that Colgate will hit enough threes to make it exciting for about 25 minutes. And then I think it goes away, unfortunately, because they just shoot the lights out. They have a guy that shoots 51% from three. I mean, that's hard to do. I mean, like a starter, like a regular player. I mean, every guy shoots 51% from three. I'm blanking on his name, but yeah, they do. G, second round or later matchup you're looking forward to?
The way I have it, the second round matchup, Texas A&M, Texas, I think is going to be a good game. That will be a good game. These two teams are going to play. These two teams are strong. I mean, that's one of the games I'm looking forward to. Kev?
Yeah, I agree. I'm sure Texas A&M's going to have the chip on the shoulder, being the little brother to Texas and, you know, the comparisons and all. So I think that's going to be the matchup.
I think we're in agreement on that one. I think I think Texas A&M wins it. I don't even think they just play them. I think they're going to win that game. And I think that if we get to it, and I know you guys both like Drake, and I like Miami, I think to hold them off in this one. I think Miami versus Houston in a Sweet 16 matchup would be good offense against good defense. Again, like you said, so many injuries. If Sasser's not playing, you know, it's a different story. Now, here's the thing. I mean, playing back-to-back nights and stuff like that with these kids getting tired, playing three games in three days, you know, if you want to catch a team, you want to catch them on that Saturday or Sunday portion, because if they have 5 days to prepare and rest, some of these teams can get healthy and get good really quick. But I think both of those matchups are really alive. So, G, at this moment, your final eight, and who gets on?
I have Indiana and I have Texas. And I have Indiana simply because I don't think Sasser is going to be healthy enough to play in these games. I think Houston's going to wind up going down in the second round. And I think we saw the precursor to that today when Memphis beat them. Kev?
I'm going a little chalk here. I'm going Houston and Texas, and I've got Texas beating Houston. They reach the final four.
I'm going Houston and A&M, and I have A&M advancing at this moment. I think A&M's pretty good. They go to the foul line more than any team in the country. They draw a lot of fouls. They didn't play great today. I grant that the point guard wasn't good, but when the kid's on and the kid's playing, it's a different story. I think that A&M was one of the hottest teams in the country down the stretch. I'm going to ride him. I'm going to ride him to the four.
I mean, I think since we think Texas A&M is very underseeded, I mean, I think we're all in agreement. Texas probably has the hardest second-round matchup.
No doubt.
All the twos.
I agree.
The fact that we're all dismissing Penn State so easily, who gave Purdue everything they could today, and who played great for the last 2 weeks and has beaten everybody close. Yep. That first round game is no cakewalk for Texas A&M either.
That's true. Yep.
So we go to the West, boys. Kansas, the top seed out here. UCLA getting the two. You know, a lot of interesting matchups here in the first round. Gino, we going 5-12 again?
No, but I think to me, this is the hardest bracket. Kansas, UCLA, Gonzaga, all together in one bracket. I think this is the hardest road for anybody to get past. For UCLA or Gonzaga to get through, they're going to have to beat the other, and then they're probably going to have to beat Kansas. I think this is the hardest bracket out there. The first round matchup, it's TCU versus the winner of Arizona State and Nevada. I'm going to tell you why. I don't think Mike Miles is fully healthy off the knee injury. And they shoot only 30% from three. It's one of the worst. And they're gonna face either Arizona State or Nevada. Arizona State, top three in turnovers forced inside the three-point line. So they can't go inside against these guys. They're going to have to stay outside. And we know TCU can't hit shots. Nevada, they led the Mountain West with 15.4% turnover rate. They're going to turn you over. They're going to force you to throw the ball from outside, and TCU can't do it. That is my matchup first round. Kev?
Well, you just totally punctured my final eight team there.
Mine too.
First round matchup I'm looking forward to. The most interesting game, I think, is Northwestern Boise State. That's, you know, we talked about Northwestern a little bit before. It's nice to see some new blood. You don't expect them to finish second in the Big Ten. So that's an interesting one. Personally, I would have preferred St. Mary's Iona just get the Gales versus Gales matchup, but that's just me.
That's nice. That's a good one, Kev.
You got hosed.
But, you know, at least local flavor, UConn and Iona. You know, Rick Pitino, his last games here, game or games, depending on how he does here, probably his last games here at Iona. From a local flavor, you know, UConn started off the season so great, dipped in the middle. They've been playing a lot better lately. It's a matter of which UConn team shows up. I think Iona's alive in that game.
I like the Commonwealth to beat St. Mary's. I think the freshman point guard is going to have a little trouble with the pressure that they're going to put on him. I just think that VCU is just a little bit more athletic than St. Mary's. I'm not saying St. Mary's isn't used to it, but they're used to playing Gonzaga, who doesn't play D. They're going to go up against a team that's going to haunt them, and that's a different matchup for them. And listen, St. Mary's is a very good team. Last time we saw them, they looked awful. I don't know if that's sitting in my head or not. I just think that VCU is playing lights out lately. They've been hot down the stretch now that they've gotten a little bit healthier. And I think it's a really, I don't know. I think they have a real legit shot to get through. I also like what you said, Kev. I like the Northwestern Boise State game. Northwestern doesn't rebound well. They just don't. But they have clutch shooters. They control the pace of the game. And they got that New York flavor with their top two players, with Ordiz and Boo Booey, both from Long Island, one from Coram, one from Hempstead, I believe. You know, I think Bowie was born in Albany, but I think he moved down here after that. So I want to root for them. I think Boise's going to give them heck. I think Boise's a really tough out for them. I think that's going to be a really fun matchup. Gee, what's the second round or later round game that you're looking forward to?
Going against what you said, because I think St. Mary's wins, it's St. Mary's UConn potential in the second round. To me, that's a good second round game. UConn trying to give you everything they got as a four seed. St. Mary's a five. I think that's one of my games I'm looking forward to if they both get past the first round. Kev?
I actually agree with Darren with VCU. I have them getting to the second round. I have them playing UConn, even though I think, like I say, I own the lie, but I think UConn gets through. I think that VCU-UConn matchup could be good, and I do have VCU getting through to the Sweet 16. So that's the second-round matchup I'm definitely looking forward to.
I'm looking forward to TCU-Gonzaga, which is the opposite of Geno. I think TCU is going to beat Gonzaga. I think they are.
So do I.
I think that they are so physical and so nasty. And I know what you're saying about Miles, and I know that nobody shoots the ball straight. The thing about TCU is they have Chuck O'Bannon has been there for like 17 years or whatever, right? But when he's on, they're unbeatable. And when he's off, they can't hit water from a boat. But I love the backcourt of Miles and Baugh. I think it's as good as anyone might. You know, Damian Baugh is a guy that fills the stat sheet as well as anybody with assists, steals, rebounds, does a lot of different things. I think Gonzaga is going to struggle a little bit with their size and athleticism of TCU. So I like that matchup. I think Kansas and Arkansas will be a great matchup as well. Arkansas limped in. I didn't like him much. I mean, I thought that they were about the same as Mississippi State going through their stuff. I know their net was higher. I didn't think their wins were even as good as Mississippi State's. But if they get by Illinois, another team limping in, Arkansas has athletes that compete with Kansas's athletes. Kansas has it's not like Kansas has the dominant big or the amazing point guard this year. It's really a lot of wings. Jalen, you know, Wilson and Grady Dick and these guys. Arkansas can match up with that. So I think it'll be a fun one. I think Kansas gets through. But that's what I look at in the West. So, G, if we were in the Final Eight, who are they? Who are your two teams that get through?
Right now, I have Kansas, UCLA, and UCLA beating Kansas. But I will tell you, the threat of Gonzaga getting through here is got me a little concerned. Originally, when I saw the brackets come out, I really was thinking Gonzaga as a three seed's got a chance to get in. So at the moment, it's Kansas, UCLA, UCLA getting through. That may be the one that I may be changing before we get to Tuesday. Kev?
Now, let me preface this because I think I'm going to be similar. None of us talked before we recorded this about any of our picks. So this is all coincidence if any of us have the same matchups here. In the Elite Eight, I have Kansas beating TCU. Darren?
I have UConn losing to TCU. In a blown-up bracket. I think UConn gets by Kansas. I just don't think Kansas is going to repeat, so I think they're going to fall short before they get to the eight. Just nobody repeats anymore, so I'm just trying to find a place where they would fall. That's the reason why. And UConn's playing well down the stretch. I think TCU-UCLA is a nasty, physical, ugly game to watch. UCLA controls pace. If you watch them against Arizona, they walk it up. They pass it around. With about eight to go in the shot clock, somebody makes a move. That's the way they play. The thing about UCLA, the best defensive player in the country, in my mind, Jalen Clark, out, hurts them. I think Bona will be back. But I mean, they played Arizona basically with an arm tied behind their back without Bona and without Clark. As long as Bona's healthy, this team can move forward because they have enough athletes to play and they control the pace of the game and they have a senior point guard that just doesn't get rattled. I think TCU is going to get by him. I think TCU, UConn. Right now, I have TCU going through, but this is going to be a bracket. I have a hunch I'm going to be changing around a little bit. But there we go. And then there was one, the East, as we sat there saying, is Rutgers going to be out as they were going through these picks? And Gino's like, there's nobody left. I'm like, Providence. He's like, maybe. But Providence got through, and no problem with Ed Cooley and Providence getting through, by the way. I didn't mean it like that. I was just trying to think of any other team that could get through. Purdue, the top seed, won the Big Ten tournament. You know, Purdue always looks good, and then they give it back up, and then the game's a little closer, and then they go back to Edie, and there's a lot of different things that go on with Purdue. But Purdue is the one, and Marquette, who's been really hot and won the Big East tournament, as the two, even though St. John's could have nailed them in the first round. So there was a stat that the ESPN guy threw up that teams that were seeded one or two that were unseeded to start the season have a record of, I think they're 18 and 14 in the last, 16 years of getting past the first weekend. Not first round, but first weekend. So it puts a little bit of a damper on thoughts of Purdue and Marquette to some, maybe not to anybody. So, Gino, the East, first round matchup you can't wait to see.
It's the 8-9. It's Memphis, Florida Atlantic. Again, another one of those games I wish the teams weren't playing against each other because Florida Atlantic is a really good team, and Memphis is coming in hot as hell. I mean, they are coming in on fire. That's the game I really want to see in the first round. I can't wait to watch that. But I'm going to tell you the other one. There's one other one here, and that is I wonder how well Louisiana, the 13, plays against Tennessee with the Ziegler injury, being that he's out with the ACL. He's gone. That was their point guard. That was part of their heart and soul to that Tennessee squad. And I wonder how much Louisiana gives them. I have not looked at any lines on purpose before we did this, but I am very curious to see what the line is on that game, because I have a feeling I may be taking Louisiana with a little upset as a 13-4. Kev?
I agree with you on that 13-4. I think Louisiana is going to win. That Sun Belt was actually very competitive up at the top there with James Madison and Lafayette. And I'm drawing a blank on the third one.
Southern Miss.
Southern Miss.
Thanks, Southern Miss. Yep. Same with you. You know, that Florida Atlantic Memphis matchup, that should be a second round matchup, not a first. Two teams that underachieved this year, I think. Both of them are going to try to right the ship a little bit here in the tournament. It's Kentucky and Providence. It's going to be interesting to see if one of those teams can put it together. They both have similar records here. I think the same record probably. Kentucky's net was a little bit better. But again, two teams that underachieved all year. Kept waiting for Kentucky to make a move. They made a little bit, but then they had a couple of losses there that were a little questionable. But that's going to be a very tight matchup there. I can see that being one of those 2 or 3 point last possession games. Darren?
I think USC Michigan State is this is another one where I like a lot of matchups. USC Michigan State, I like USC to go a little bit in this bracket. I think they're going to beat Marquette too. So I have USC going a couple rounds here. I think this isn't your father's Michigan State Izzo team. They don't rebound as well as they have in the past. They're a little, they're not as dynamic in the backcourt as they've been. They're good, and they have games where they're great, and they have games where they're just mediocre. Duke Oral Roberts is fun. We all remember Max Asemus, but for two reasons. Number one, his name is spelled Abrams, so you're like, how do they call him Asemus all the time? But number two, he averages 22-plus a game. He won't be afraid. I don't think Duke is a lockdown defensive team. I think Virginia is an easy team to defend if you have size like they do. I think that Oral Roberts can give Duke a little bit of fits. I don't think they're going to win, but I do think that game will be closer than you think. And I like you guys. I actually think Florida Atlantic's going to get by Memphis. I know you guys probably don't. I think Florida Atlantic wins that game. I think it's a really close matchup. Gino does too. I think it's a really close matchup. I think that sometimes when teams come in so hot that they think that Memphis just beat like the world beater in Houston, I think that they're going to come in and take Florida Atlantic a little lighter than they should, and I think they're going to lose that game. And the other one was Kentucky Providence, like you mentioned. The Providence's best player, Hopkins, transfer from Kentucky. I can't imagine Cal losing first round 2 years in a row. Lost to St. Peter's last year. It's hard for me to fathom it. And G and I were in Vegas, AC, we couldn't bet it. It was a Jersey game. So we were sitting there, and the place was still erupting, and nobody could have a bet on that game. And the place was going bananas because of that matchup. But yeah, to me, I'm going to go USC is going to be my upset. I think USC, not that 10-7 is huge. I just think 10-7, I think USC goes through. Gee, if we're looking at a second round and later rounds, is there anything that really jumps out at you?
Kentucky, Kansas State. Both of those teams are going to look like they're coming in as hot as hell at that point. I think Kentucky, Kansas State. That's my second round matchup I'm looking forward to. Kev?
Sweet 16 matchup. I've got Purdue Duke. And I think Duke is one of the few schools here with Borden and with Philip Koski and with Reeves. They can throw body after body after body of that 7 foot to deal with.
Well, Lively 7-1.
Or 7-1.
7-1. Yeah. He can do it himself.
Yep. So I think this is a place where, and I hate to say it, I think Duke has a real strong chance of beating Purdue there.
They gave Duke, I feel like, the easiest route to Sweet 16. It's Oral Roberts, and then it's the winner of Tennessee, Louisiana, with an injured Tennessee point guard. I can't believe they gave them an easy route with the 5 seed. It's one thing if they're the 1 seed or the 2 seed and they have the easy route. They're a 5 seed and they have an easy route to the Sweet 16. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Kev.
No, Like I said, I like Duke there in that matchup. As much as I hate to say it, you know how much I hate Duke.
Yep.
But they've got the size to deal with Edie, and they can knock off Purdue.
I think Tennessee is going to beat Duke. I think that the fact that everybody is writing Tennessee off is – listen, Vescovi can still bring up the ball. He's not as good a defender as Ziegler. I'm not trying to compare him to him. Tennessee is physical and nasty, and they allow 58 points a game, and they rebound the heck out of the ball. And I think Filipowski is going to get hit like he hasn't been hit before. I think they're going to knock those freshmen around a lot. And I think Tennessee is going to beat Purdue, too. I think Tennessee, because when you expect Rick Barnes to do something, he does nothing. Nobody expects Rick Barnes to do anything. This could be the time. The only reason Rick Barnes always disappoints in the tournament is this the team where he actually does good coaching and he gets through? I don't know. I also, like I told you before, I think USC beats Marquette. I think USC gets to the 16. I think USC is pretty good. That means Kev's got Marquette. But I have USC. I think USC is pretty good. I think Boogie Ellis and I hate USC. I'm a UCLA fan. I hate USC like I hate Duke, to be honest. If they played each other, I don't know if I'd watch if it was a championship game. But I think USC with Peterson, who's a real unicorn type player, and Boogie Ellis, I think that they can score and play with Marquette. Marquette, once again, not a great rebounding team. I think USC can punish them. They're getting healthy. I just my take. G, we're at final eight.
Who we got? And now that you said all that, I have to tell I have Marquette beating Purdue. I have Marquette beating Purdue. I think them winning the Big East title, I think that was a big thing for them. And listen, for a lot of that game wasn't close. I think they're ready to go. I will tell you this. One thing that interests me about this bracket is that if I told you in the Sweet 16 coming out, you had Purdue, Duke, Kentucky, and Marquette, you'd be like, wow, those are some big-name schools. But if that's the case, it's a 1, a 2, a 5, and a 6, because Duke's a 5, mm-hmm. Kentucky's a 6. I find that very interesting how that works. I like Marquette over Purdue. Kev?
Well, hearing Darren's analysis, there's no shot we will have the same final eight here. I have Marquette beating Duke in the final eight. And Darren has neither advancing past the first round. Or
I am both, not getting, both, the Sweet 16. Both getting past the first round.
Not to the Sweet 16.
And neither one makes the second weekend, according to me.
Yes.
And that's what makes the bracket so damn good. Darren, what do you got?
Well, I got Tennessee, Kansas State. With the Vols going on to the four. And, yeah, I know. It's probably a bit of a reach. Listen, Tennessee could lose to Louisiana. I mean, to be perfectly honest, Louisiana comes out hot and Tennessee's not hitting any shots. They could lose in the first round. I think that they're going to galvanize. I mean, they lost 10 games this year. None of them were big losses. I mean, Missouri just got hot at the end of the game. Every game was competitive and close. They didn't figure out a way to finalize games down the stretch. If they could get any kind of play and help Vescovi out at all with some big shots, I think that they're dangerous. But yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, we're all over the place, boys. We are going to do a group bracket, you know, with consensus on Tuesday. So I'm sure that Tennessee or Kansas State will not make the consensus bracket. So I probably will stick with what I have here, but this is my favorite one of the regions because of the quality of teams in it. Because Memphis, Florida Atlantic, because Purdue's in there, because Duke Oral Roberts, because of Tennessee, Louisiana, Kentucky, Providence, K-State, Montana State, who's never won a game in the tournament. That's why I like K-State to beat them. Michigan State, USC. I like Vermont. I don't think they could beat Marquette, but I like them. I mean, I think that all these teams are pretty good, but they're all relatively evenly matched outside of Purdue. I don't think any one of them – you could have put any one of these teams as a two, And no one would have blinked an eye, whether it be Duke, whether it be Tennessee, whether it be Kansas State, you know, or Marquette. You could have had any one of them. I just think it's a very evenly balanced bracket. So, who do you think cuts down the Nets early? We don't have to go to the final four picks, but you can just tell me who's your early pick that cut down the Nets, G?
Alabama. Alabama beating Indiana in the final.
Okay.
Hard picking the one. Hard picking the number one overall seed. But I think it's Alabama. Kev?
I think if the moment gets a little bit too big for Miller, you saw him put up a 4-for-20 today. I have Marquette over Alabama there. I have Kansas over Texas, and Kansas repeating as champions again. Kansas, it just has too many quad one quality wins this year. They've been winning against good teams all year. I think they pull this one off and repeat as champions.
I'm going to have A&M in the final against Alabama.
Woo!
A much closer rematch, but I think Alabama at this moment. Again, I go a little crazy when I'm trying to look at these matchups early, but we haven't had time to delve into them too much. But there's a lot of, there's a lot of intriguing first-round games. We're going to see a lot of, on the betting side, G, we're going to see a lot of 4-13, 5-12, 6-11 games where the spread's going to be 2.5 or less. I mean, it's going to be, it's that kind of a bracket. We expect it in 7-10, you expect it with 8-9, even 6-11 to an extent. But 5-12, we're going to see 2.5, 2, 3. 4-13, you're going to see 4, 5, maybe 6. I mean, so the big spreads will be in the 116 and the 215, even the 314 to an extent, even though I don't think Kent State spread will be that bad either against Indiana in the 4-13. It's going to be a tough betting week for all of us, I think, and picking week. Is there a... I mean, I think we've covered a lot of this stuff. I mean, is there anything else you guys want to add? All right, guys. Well, we are the Sports Kings from Queens. This was the Brackets Are Out. This is the special for the tournament. Just wanted to give you guys a little insight on the first night, give you a couple of nuggets, a couple of things to look for as you go forward, studying your brackets. We're going to be doing the group bracket on Tuesday and explaining why and all that fun stuff. But we wanted to give you guys an early chance to get a look and a listen and see – and see if who to go against, whether it be me, Kevin, Gino, or all three of us. It's really up to yourselves how you want to do it. But again, Sports Kings from Queens, you know, you can download us anywhere you get your podcast, whether it be an Apple product, whether it be Spotify, whether it be TuneIn. You know, if you want to ask us any questions about the tournament, please feel free to do so. We do have the research. We do have the information. We can certainly help you out with that. And we will be making comments throughout the tournament, picking games, not the first round, but after that, every game we'll be putting on Facebook every single day that they play, so you guys know who we like in particular matchups. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.